News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. You know, we got a lot of headlines this morning for sure. They're piling up on us here. We're doing the best we can to sort through. Did you see in Pennsylvania, was it 10,000? Let me see if I get this number correct here. You know, with the egg situation right now?
The heist?
The heist of hundreds. No, let's see.
Wasn't it 40 grand or something like that? Was the total for the heist?
As far as the number?
I think around that.
As far as the total with the, what the eggs were worth?
Yeah, that was like 36 eggs.
Yeah. So anyway, thousands of eggs were stolen.
100,000 eggs.
And an egg heist in Pennsylvania. That is crazy.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, and Sean was talking about this a little bit yesterday, too. But, you know, you watch The Sopranos or any mob show, gangster show. And when they talk on the phones about delivery's coming, and they usually try to hide what they're delivering.
Back in The Sopranos, it was VCRs, but they would call it something else. Right?
So, yeah, they're like, all right, we got a big shipment of eggs coming in. But now that might actually bring some attention to you if you say that.
That would bring clarity. Like they're going to steal the eggs.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess they're getting on up there. And then folks in some of these organic eggs. I was just reading about people in New York who are paying like, $15 for a dozen of eggs or something like that. It's pretty crazy.
You know what? Eggs are not really... probably because we're here so early in the morning. I'm not gonna wake up in the morning and scramble some eggs. I don't have time for that. You know, I just want to get showered and get here. So I often go, and now it's almost like a badge of courage in a way. Not courage, a pride. I have no eggs in my house.
Really?
Zero eggs in my house. So
we are chock full of eggs, chock full of milk. We got it all at my house.
Yeah, well, you would.
All the proteins.
You would, with the growing kids and all. But no eggs. So I'm not feeling that particular pinch. But I do go to the grocery store and I do, you know, ground beef and all. Just about anything is steak, ground beef, even chicken and pork, a lot more than they used to be.
I've been getting into cooking recently. I haven't done a whole lot of it in my lifetime, but now I am.
Well, so, you know, if you look at Alex kidding aside, if you just look at a recipe and follow the recipe, you're probably going to come out okay.
Yeah. All this time, I was just trying to, you know, follow my own North Star, and that never worked out. So once I figured out recipes actually work,
they do work.
I'm up at Adam. Hey, Jason, starting the 8 o'clock hour, I should say, with a text that is leading us right into where we want to start.
Okay.
Good morning, guys. After looking at the insane list of waste at USAID, we could have had the money for the new Bayway Bridge long ago.
Doesn't that occur to you? Like, man, look at all this money, where it's going. And we need this.
Jason says, all we had to do was ask for funding for an immigration escape route or an asylum seekers highway.
There you go.
Have forked it right on over.
It would have been ours.
I was watching someone last night, and they said, you know, a better way to think of this, and really is, when you see, like, when this whole USAID the cuts began and people pushing back, it makes up less than 1% of the entire budget. Why do you even care about that?
Yeah, I'm hearing those quotes from like the senator out in, from Africa that's in Minnesota. That was one of her quotes. We're talking about
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, it's like that's not the point, is it? Look at them.
And so, yeah, if you the average American pays about $20,000 a year in taxes, average.
Yeah.
Okay, there's people that pay a lot more. There's people that probably pay none. Well, there are that pay none. And so just think of it in terms of your average taxpayer. So if they say even they're just cutting, you know, $100,000 out of the budget, that's five taxpayers for a year.
Yeah.
But the numbers are much more astronomical than that. And the job cutting has begun, and they're trying to get the buyouts going. So we'll talk about the buyouts here in a minute, but as far as USAID, maybe the most controversial part of this week has been the Politico Plus, and not just Politico, but paying news organizations,
right.
Governments paying for government organizations, legislators paying very high prices for subscriptions to news outlets,
yes,
but using taxpayer money.
Right.
And
what else are you going
to
use?
It's a debate I didn't really know we would get to with all of this cut, but when Politico Plus is bringing in $8 million in taxpayer money from organizations that are buying their subscription, I think it's owed to the taxpayer to say, okay, what exactly are you getting out of that? Is this a bribe that's cloaked in some kind of access that you're getting? You know, they can say that, oh, it's all on the up and up. It's totally worth it. They need to see how these bills are moving and where they're going and who's thinking what. But it's taxpayer money we're talking about. And sometime over the last 248 years, we lost sight of that's taxpayer money, okay?
Yeah, it's taxpayer money.
Use it the way we need it used.
Thank you.
And it will never get to perfect.
No, right? No. But this seems egregious. I was talking yesterday with a gentleman who's been in media and media news, you could say, for all his life. He's probably 50 years. And we were talking about this. I said, isn't this a giant scandal? He said, yes.
Hmm.
But it's not being treated that way in the news. I don't think it started.
You mean the news isn't treating it like a big scandal?
Exactly. That's part of it, right? It's like if the New York Times gets all this money and Politico, you know, they're paying for the added subscription that gives you more detail, right? More content.
Yeah, and listen, Dan and I know we're talking about peanuts here, $8 million, but those peanuts and really USAID in general. Now, not all $8 million of the Politico money came from USAID. That's total of the government. I think it was somewhere around $40,000 from USAID organizations. But if you look at how much of that USAID money has been spent around the world to disrupt countries, mm-hmm, and, you know, we laugh and joke, oh, they're paying for Sesame Street in Iraq. Now, maybe they thought that would be nation building, but $20 million to put Sesame Street on in Iraq, that's a lot of taxpayer money. You look at some of the trans things they're pushing, LGBTQ rights, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. A lot of that, they say they're trying to spread democracy and do this and that, but really it's trying to upend some of these countries from the inside and create issues. I mean, USAID played a pretty major role in the 2014 color revolution in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the two sides of this, Dalton, I think are when you look at paying off the media and then people on the right are screaming, hey, wait a minute, that looks like a bribe. They're saying it's just a transaction. Like, perfect, this is the way we do business. The government and needs access to what we have, and this is the transaction that we make to allow that. But here's the thing. The media itself, their coverage of all things political has been so far to the left, that's why it feels like it's a payoff.
Yeah.
Because the headlines themselves in the New York Times, in Politico, in Time, you can see the coverage. You know the damage that's been done to people like Donald J. Trump. So when you see those numbers, this money is going over here from the United States of America to Politico, from the United States of America to New York Times. It feels shady because of the coverage that they provide. And then when it comes to, you know, we can get into all this lost jobs and all that in the government with what they're doing with DOGE and all. A lot of belly aching. And I don't think this is necessarily belly aching on the Republican or the conservative side. I think it's truthful questions like, what the hell's going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, now they're explaining it simply. I found this story on the left. Politico editor-in-chief John Harris said it's a transaction, just as the government buys research equipment, software, and industry reports, he said. Some online voices are deliberately spreading falsehoods. Politico would
know about that.
No kidding. Politico has no financial dependence on the government and no hidden agenda. We cover politics and policy. That's our job. It just looks shady. And
Like doesn't look shady. It is shady.
Yeah, there you go.
It is. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
And, you know, Politico isn't the only one, but certainly it seems right now the most egregious.
How much money was given to Breitbart? How much money was given from the government to
Daily
Fox
Wire.
News?
Yeah, Fox News.
Daily Wire.
Mm-hmm. It's questions worth asking. As far as the job cuts, let me take you through a couple of several updates from yesterday. So a federal judge has temporarily halted Trump's buyout offer for employees hours before last night's midnight deadline. I think gave them 4 more days, so they have until Monday night, midnight.
Well, it'll be revisited in the court on
Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, the judge's decision pauses the so-called fork directive pending further arguments and hearings. The buyout offer includes 8 months' pay and benefits for resigning. They're trying to reduce the federal workforce by 5 to 10%. 3 major unions filed a lawsuit, said it violated the Administrative Procedure Act. The number is now 60,000 federal employees that have accepted the offer, reportedly. It's about 2% of the federal government workforce. But meanwhile, they're moving forward with forced cuts instead of buyouts. Sources say the White House is preparing an executive order to cut thousands of workers from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. It includes the FDA, CDC, and other health agencies. The White House yesterday denied there's an executive order related to HHS coming. And remember, RFK Jr. just now making it past the Senate Finance Committee. So a full vote on him in the Senate set to come, and probably before any big HHS announcements. Agency officials have been told to prepare lists of probationary workers who have essential roles and must be retained, and of employees who do not. Generally, probationary employees have served less than a year and can be let go more easily than other workers. As far as USAID, the Trump administration plans to retain only about 290 of the more than 10,000 employees worldwide at the USAID. The cuts were communicated to agency leaders in a call yesterday. At the EPA's Office of Environmental Justice, 168 employees were placed on administrative leave. Trump is widely expected to completely do away with that office. And finally, this was interesting, too. President Trump has asked congressional Republican leaders to end tax perks for sports team owners and hedge fund managers to fund significant middle-class tax cuts. Remember his campaign? He talked so much about cutting taxes on tips,
yep,
overtime pay, Social Security benefits.
Tuberville yesterday is trying to make
the
sure
Social Security isn't hit twice.
Yeah, and guess who's all for that? That would be Danny Boy. Here I am.
Surprised me there. So that's how he plans to pay for it. And I've complained about it for years. A lot of people have. These billionaire owners who get their stadiums completely subsidized. And I know the arguments for and against. It brings a lot to the community. It brings a lot of business to these different cities.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see Trump's plan there. So all 4 of those updates came within just a few hours yesterday.
You know, and can we get into some of the belly aching too?
Please.
We'll do that. And I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. But when I hear these government employees who are screaming that they're being wronged, you got to be a big boy, man.
Big boy or big girl. Hey. Yeah. Moon Pie Minute. They're rolling on Dolphin Island tomorrow, the Dolphin Island People's Parade. And here you go, the Moon Pie Minute brought to you by Cammie's Old Dutch. I need to run by there and get some ice cream today. Hey, 24 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Patrick Jump, a good friend of ours, the veteran, joining us here. A few minutes, we'll talk about the big controversy over the Veterans Board and the way the director is going to, if this follows through, being a cabinet official of Ivy's rather than elected by the board. We'll get into that further here in just a minute. This segment brought to you by the great folks at Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a ton of people in our area. They've been doing that work for decades from their office down on Dolphin Street at Tobias and Comer Law. They'll help guide you through your case from the first time you first talk until it's over. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. Now, that was apparent when I was at the Tobias and Comer tent at the Senior Bowl on Saturday. So many people coming by that they knew and were very, very friendly with. It's just it's great seeing that interaction. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen just about everything. Their website is great and full of useful information. You can find out more at tobiascomerlaw.com. Also, you can call for a free consultation any time of the day. That number is 251-432-5001. Check out tobiascomerlaw.com.
Government workers upset with what DOGE is doing. I know it's a shock to your system. It happens every day. It may be happening in big numbers.
Yeah, and get some text, and I want to read this tweet to you, this X, I should say. Lots of egg tweets. Chris says, "Hey, Dalton, when cooking, always remember when in doubt, add more butter." Alec Naaman will agree, for sure on that. CB Carl, those are some good-looking eggs. 3 days of laying, he says. This texter, Rock and Roll Doctor says, "Dragonfly and Daphne, your Fairhope puts a quail egg sunny side up on top of their firecracker shrimp bowl. Are quail eggs the next big thing?"
Huh.
Got to start looking outside the market. That is a good thought, Rock and Roll Doctor. This texter, "The government budget is like going to the grocery store. You keep throwing in things that are only a dollar, and you go to the register, and the total is $250. Amen. And they tell you not to care about it, though, right? It's just a dollar. Why are you caring about
money.
That? Let's start with the big things. Joe says, "If it's only 1% of the budget, then obviously the budget is way too big." Fire Dog said, "What Trump should do is spend $44 million on Fox Nation subscriptions and see how fast that gets shut down." Yeah, I guess it'd be a fun move, but just as long as it gets shut down. I don't want to see taxpayer money going towards any more of that crap. And he also said the egg heist would be easy to solve. Whoever wins the Guinness World's Largest Omelet may be the suspect. Cheese Wagon, thank you. Crash eastbound I-10 at the 37-mile marker. It's blocking the left lane. Eastbound I-10 at the 37-mile marker. And Jason says, "The story about Trump ending tax breaks for team owners sure squashes the left's argument that Trump is only looking out for his billionaire buddies."
Right.
Mention that post I saw yesterday, and NBC News, they had Haley Jackson had federal workers on and said they're living in an Orwellian nightmare, and part of that is because they don't have lifetime job security. That's one of their complaints yesterday. And this John Podahertz, or however you say his name, said, "Welcome to life. That's what it's like for a lot of us out here."
You know, I don't want to, I rarely do this. I don't want to drag my life into this discussion. I won't unless it applies, but I think it does apply. In January of 2020, Shelby and I had the number one, and had for years, number one revenue driving show in the market. So you had a lot of history, a lot of wins, win. But I heard other ideas, and everybody was in that room that day. I love them all dearly, but they told me to put my stuff in a box and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2 o'clock that afternoon, I was down at Moe's Original Barbecue downtown Mobile with trying to figure out some business possibilities. Then that went away because the pandemic came, so you couldn't go and meet with people. We were going to be it was going to be a sales opportunity. Well, that's gone. Of course, Sean calls, and my point is this: there's no guarantees. Hmm. When you get hit in the jaw, you got to get up. And these people all crying together, finding solace in the person to the left and to the right, like they're all being victimized here.
Mm-hmm. Or dragged to the gulag.
Yeah. I mean, that is life. And you've got to know, one of my brothers told me years ago, always make sure you're in a wide stance. What he meant by that in the boxing or fighting application of a wide stance would be, you know, you're less likely to get knocked over.
Right.
And
strong
in your life,
base.
Yeah, in your life, you got to have a strong base. You can't be a whiny. I mean, sorry it's happening, but this is taxpayer money, and this is the way it's all going to go down. I certainly hope. I don't wish for somebody's bad luck on one end, but it's business.
It's life.
It's life.
Get it together. Patrick Jump joins us next. A quick traffic update for you from our text line. Thank you, Angry Patriot. This looks serious. Angry Patriot said a minivan slammed into the back of a pickup truck. I'm thinking this is, I-10 eastbound, 1 mile east of the Daphne exit 35. Angry Patriot says used 90 or 31. Minivan slammed in the back of a pickup truck 1 mile east of the exit 35, Daphne exit. Use 90 or 31. Thank you, Angry Patriot. That's Gee. Eastbound on 10. We'll try to keep you updated as soon as we get more information.
I don't know if fog played a role in that, but we do have fog this morning. When you hear something slamming into something else, it sounds like maybe see what was going on up ahead of them.
Could have been an issue there.
You might just want to cool it a little bit with your speed this morning. Just be careful.
I always like talking to our good friend Patrick Jump with Warrior Legacy Ranch, a Marine veteran. And Patrick, and I say I love talking with you all the time, but we're talking about some pretty serious things this week in the veterans community. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to provide some information about it.
Yeah, so the big discussion, and we've had folks on, we've been talking about it this week, Wednesday, basically the first full day after gaveling into session in Montgomery, the Senate committee, and it is the Veterans, I can't remember the exact name of the committee, but they went ahead and the Senate Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, 10:30 Wednesday morning, went into a meeting, didn't really let a whole lot of folks know that was coming, and by a 5-2 vote with one abstention, move forward legislation that will restructure the State Board of Veterans Affairs and change how the commissioner is appointed. We all know about the massive controversy as Admiral Kent Davis was let go as commissioner of ADVA with Governor Ivey's supreme executive power. She said in her State of the State she wants a commissioner who works more in line with what the executive branch wants. She didn't really mention what the rest of the veterans in the state want. And you sent out an email to those legislators. Kind of tell us about what that email said.
Yeah, so I wrote them a small book. And that email was pretty long, but I wrote them a small book, and basically just outlining, why the current situation works. I think it was started in the 1950s as how it's set up, and it's worked so well for so long. And one of those reasons is accessibility. I think the one part that I like about the bill, just the one part that I like about the bill, is the fact that it allows different organizations to serve. I like that, but at the same time, if it's going to impact our veterans in a negative way, which I think it will, then I'd love to serve on that board, but at the same time, if I want to, I'll just go join one of the organizations that has a seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to impact or hurt our veterans just for your own personal gain. And I think that's, when you talk about working in line with the executive branch, more in line, then you're trying to fill an agenda. And veterans are often used as political ploys, especially around campaign season, and then we don't hear from them again.
Yeah.
If I reach out to a member of the Veterans Board, and I'm like, hey, we got this issue going on, something you can help us with, then they'll contact the commissioner, and many times as a veterans organization in Alabama, I've spoken to the commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. They've helped us out. They've helped me out. Personally, they've helped out our organization, and he's helped other veterans that I've pointed in their direction. If not personally handled it, he finds somebody that does. At the same time, I've reached out to secretary cabinet positions. I've reached out to the governor's office. I've never spoken to the governor. I've never spoken with the heads of other cabinet positions. Kim Boswell.
And otherwise, they've not responded to you.
Right. And that's the concern I have, is that if it's cabinet position, there becomes like a level of arrogance to it that, I don't need to talk to this one veteran in the state, versus when it's run by veterans and for veterans, there's accessibility aspect to it.
Yeah. And also, your mission has been so much bigger. You have veterans who have problems in their life, and they are trying to, they need help from Commissioner Kent Davis, former. But your mission to build this Warrior Legacy Ranch, you certainly needed to have access to assistance, and in the very least, somebody who would lend an ear and understand what you were talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I tell you accessibility, you know, I sent that letter and that email, I copied every member of our Alabama legislature on it. And the only person that even replied back to it, you know, Dalton and I have talked about it, but the only person that other than that, that emailed back on it was Pat Downing, you know, mm-hmm. former U.S. Army Special Forces Colonel. He replied back, absolutely, 100% agree, you know.
Yeah.
Not one legislator responded to that email, and I've only spoken to one legislator has returned my phone call, and that's Frances Hulk Jones. She's the only one who was willing to return my phone call. And I called everyone on the Veterans Board or the Veterans Committee, and I've called all of our local legislators.
Wow. It seems to me part of their job is returning a phone call.
I would think so. And it's just from the outside looking in, although I'm not really on the outside looking in, I mean, I'm covering this story as closely as one can, basically. It's like the governor has convinced these legislators that this is the right way. Just do what we're doing and you'll be okay. But all I hear from veterans are that they don't like this one bit. And I'm sure, Patrick, and I love your email, and it was vulnerable, and it got to the point, and it said, this is what I think. That deserved much more than one email response from one legislator.
Yes.
But are they putting their head in the sand? I know it's not all of them. Are they putting their head in the sand and not listening to their constituents because they know they hate this so badly?
It's possible. I'm going to maybe even come to their defense a little bit in that they may be overwhelmed with the amount of comments that they've received. And I think as a result, the House has decided on their bill for House Bill 154 on February 12th at 10:30. If you go to Montgomery and you go to room 429, there is the House Standing Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs is having a meeting, and they're I'm told they're accepting public comments.
Hmm. I'm told also some of those rooms in the smaller House, you know, the House is a bigger group of people, obviously, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it's kind of a tight squeeze.
Yeah, not as much room for the public, I guess you could say.
How much of the public could be part of all
that? When did you say that? That's going down again, Patrick?
That's next Wednesday, February 12th.
And, you know, we've seen how quickly things can work their way onto the legislative schedule. And we saw that with that day one on Wednesday, moving that through in the Senate. What has been, and I've talked to veterans, I've talked to you and plenty more, and I'll be honest, as someone who did not serve, a lot of that kind of goes over my head. It's just not the life that I've been living. But everyone that I've talked to, for the most part, every veteran says they liked the way that the board has been constituted. And they felt that there was pretty good representation of different veterans groups that made up that board, and they all, for the most part, not all of them, but most of them liked what Admiral Kent Davis was getting done there. The governor they keep pushing this. They want a more diverse group of people serving on the veterans board. And then, of course, they want the commissioner of their choosing, not someone chosen by the board. Do you feel like the way maybe not the entire ADVA, I know it's had its issues, but the board itself and the way things have been working recently since Davis took over 5 years ago, it's been getting done what I think veterans in the state want it to get done.
Yeah, absolutely it has. You know, the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs was able to build a new veterans home, improved, and they've done improvements at veterans homes. The cemeteries in the same fashion, there's been improvements. I mean, anyone local can just go to the beautiful veteran cemetery in Spanish Fork.
Yes.
And see that. And see the progress that's been made there and talk to the people on the ground. You know, we have so many problems in our federal VA. Our federal VA is a massive problem, and I wish they would not politicize that position as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. I wish it was appointed in the same fashion that Alabama does for their veterans board on a national level. Because that's the one, veterans don't need to be politicized. Remember, like if you're in the military and you're in uniform, you're not allowed to be politicized. You're not allowed to go to political rallies in uniform. We shouldn't be politicized. We shouldn't be used for political gain or loss. And I, you know, the federal turnover is a constant issue. Every 4 years, any progress you start to make, it gets flipped the next time the party changes.
Right.
And it just doesn't work for us.
No continuity.
You know what? And I haven't heard that yet, Patrick. That is a I think I like that idea. And basically what we're saying is that Alabama's going away from that model. Mm-hmm. Instead of having veterans groups vote on a commissioner, which would make it as apolitical, basically, it wouldn't be completely without politic, right? But it would be less egregious than having them appointed by the person that's in charge of the state. Yeah, it'd be a more democratic thing, I think. And that would at least, you're right, kind of take the partisanship away from the title.
And the turnover. If you have good leadership, the veterans are deciding.
Keep him on.
He's good for us.
Yeah.
We wouldn't wish to keep him. Well, you can. But if it's an appointee, then it's highly political.
Yeah, interesting.
Out of Patrick's and every other veteran's hands.
So, Patrick, you said this meeting, House is going to have it come up on Wednesday. I need to check the schedule to see when the Senate, what they have coming up next after it moved out of committee for them. What's your message to veterans or people connected to veterans, people who care about our veterans? If they're interested in this, what do they need to do?
So they're on multiple sites. You know, we keep it off the Warrior Legacy Ranch site because that is completely apolitical. We don't do that. I'm obviously a little more political on a personal level, but there are ways that you can find. There's a change.org petition floating around. You can call your local representatives and tell them that you don't support this, that you want veterans to be able to make this choice. Remember, everyone listening, just remember that Veterans Day is more about, or that veterans are more about, we're in your everyday life. It's more than just November 11th every year.
Mm-hmm.
That this is important to us. And I hope that the legislators remember that veterans in Alabama are 15% of the voting base. That's actually higher than anywhere, than other states in the country. And 15%, if you want to sway a vote by 15%, that you could lose an election that way.
No doubt. 15% is a big chunk of that electorate.
Somebody on the text line saying it's already done. The Republicans have won Alabama. Why would they care about veterans? That's a decent point
there. Well, it's not all Republicans.
Right, but still, they do. I mean,
there's a lot of Republicans that are pushing back against this. Maybe not enough. I mean, State Senator Elliott, he made it pretty clear where he stands on this the other day.
Also, but Pete says that the Ivy pushing for Senate floor vote Tuesday. And Pete, again, what Patrick's saying, call your legislators.
Yeah. And another texter asking us, is there an easy way to get the contact info? I'll find a site for you, but I know Leanna has put it up on our Facebook page. At least our local representatives, maybe more of them, their contact information.
The South Alabama Veterans Council has shared it.
Okay, that too.
Okay.
Patrick, we appreciate it, and I know this won't be the last we talk with you about this. Maybe get you on again next week for an update, but we really appreciate not just you jumping on with us today, but everything you do, and we are fully backing Warrior Legacy Ranch, warriorlegacyranch.org, and hope to see you continue to do great things, but we really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, last point, if I can make it.
Sure. Please.
The guy said, politicians have already won, the Republicans have already won Alabama. Take a look at how many of those politicians weren't Republicans prior to them getting elected.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
And Republicans don't always make the best choices for veterans. Again, remaining bipartisan on this, I've known J.D. Vance for a long time, since we were 18 years old. He's a friend of mine, somebody I support. And I might write him a letter about changing the way the secretary gets appointed as well.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, Patrick, thanks for your thoughtful conversation. And you made your points very well, and you didn't lose your mind. I know you internally you're feeling pretty upset by all this, but all we can do is pragmatically try to do the right thing from this point. So we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
Good man there, Patrick Jump and Mobile Mornings. We'll be right back. A lot of text to get to. 251-343-0106. All right. It's here. Who do you have? Jalen Hurts? Patrick Mahomes? Going Travis Kelce? Are you going to go A.J. Brown? A lot of decisions to make with the big game coming up Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
And Underdog Fantasy is the best place to cash in on all of your takes during the big game. Actually, the best app for your big game party. It's not on the table. It's on your phone. It's called Underdog Fantasy. And with their Champions game, you could win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats like yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. Those would be the stats you'd be using for the big game on Sunday night. But they have all of your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. See, I've had Underdog Fantasy on my phone for a very long time, and I've been playing it on not just Sundays and Saturdays during football season, but year-round, because they have all the sports, including golf, basketball, a lot of college basketball, of course, going on. You can create entries with all football selections or mix and match across all of your other favorite sports. And with Underdog's double flex option, you can even take two losses and turn them into a win. Get ready. The big game is coming up Sunday night. Go ahead and download the Underdog Fantasy app today. See how fun it is and get in the hang of it before the big game Sunday night. It is the best place to play Champions. To get started, download the Underdog Fantasy app. Sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. Underdog Fantasy app, promo code Dalton. Let me know what players you think are going to go off this weekend on the text line. To play, you must be 19-plus in Alabama and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply, and if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Chiefs favored by 1.5. What do you think? It's hard to go against my
I want my boy A.J. Brown to win a Super Bowl.
No.
We want Jalen Hurts to win us.
No, what do you think? You're saying what you want to happen.
Oh, okay.
Who you're rooting for.
If you
had to bet a lot of money on this game, 1.5 points, which way do you go?
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to ugly win.
Yeah.
That's what I think, just like they've done all year.
Yeah, it's not like they're blowing people out and making them cry on the sidelines.
Not until the Buffalo game last week, or 2 weeks ago, which was an offensive explosion,
yeah.
Right? But
yeah.
Other than that, it's been all ugly.
Yeah.
KC, and only ugly if you get the L in the game, and they've been getting a lot of W's, obviously.
They have a quarterback that can win ugly, and they have a quarterback that can move around and not take a big sack, and they've got a quarterback that, in the most important, crucial times, finds somebody open somewhere, mm-hmm. and that's how they win.
Yeah, and I like DeAndre Hopkins a lot, too. Great guy. And I'm kind of split. A.J. Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, both were on my team.
Well, and
Tennessee Titans. And
it's the Philly Dogs, too. I mean, they've got... They call them the Philly Dogs because the Georgia fans do. They've got they've got 6 or 7 Georgia Bulldogs on that team.
Yeah, they
mostly
do.
Mostly on the defense.
That's a good, great defense there. Brandon says, can you play Underdog in Alabama? Yeah, it's Daily Fantasy Sports. Passed several years ago out of the legislature. Underdog Fantasy. I've had it on my phone for a long time. Let's get some of these texts. Doesn't That Meta says he was laid off, top revenue producer. He was talking about what you were saying there and said, I made getting a job my job.
That's it.
Yeah. Moz says, my daughter works for a federal agency in Atlanta. Doge has been there for the last couple of days. She said everyone is walking on eggshells and nervous as crap. Hey, those eggshells are expensive. Stop walking on them. Yeah, he said, I told her to go in early, stay late, and do everything her supervisor asks of her, plus anything else she can do to show how valuable she can be. I also told her, welcome to the real world.
There you go.
I think a lot, and not, certainly not all, we're talking about millions of people that work for the federal government. So you have some shining stars. You have some hard-ass workers, mm-hmm. people that show up every day and grind. You got people that deserve to be there. There's a lot of people who are just getting paid to really not even show up these days.
Yeah,
a lot of waste.
What was it? 5% of the government buildings were occupied?
I think that was, I can't remember the total number, but one was like down to, 5%.
Man.
One of the main ones.
I mean, just showing up is too much.
Now they're going to be showing up somewhere else, I guess. I don't know. Let's see. Legislators are more afraid of Ivy and lobbyists than they are veterans. That's what Pete says here.
More power.
A lot of good texts, and we'll keep them rolling next week. 251-343-0106. Trying to keep you as informed on this legislative session as well, and that will continue with the Jeff Poor Show on the way next, plus Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan at noon. Thank you, everybody.